Yeah, I know that's fun. We could talk about a lot of those things for a while. But the next up is Mark. He's going to give us the Assistant Attorney General report for 2022 legislative updates.
And translate.
I know, right?
Right, yeah. Hopefully, everybody's had a chance to review the memo. I did deliberately put in a couple of incorrect references, and I only did that to make sure that you read the memo. I'm not going to tell you where they are. No, the first bill basically deputizes Victoria to give her law enforcement authority and to charge for inspections. It's a new bill, mirrored after North Carolina. Now, the first two are basically just, they're COVID-related, and they have to do with masks and vaccinations. Kind of self-explanatory. The first bill on the second page, this has to do with public records, and it really puts into law what Victoria has already always done, and that is just to put a name and a contact behind who in the agency will shepherd through these public records requests. So I don't know that there's really anything that that Victoria is now going to be doing differently, because it's probably already online and people know who they need to talk to with respect to the public records request. There's an additional requirement about, you know, providing, you know, receipt of the public records request. Again, I think these are all things that our agency has always done. It's just you know, good public relations.
Sure, I think it's important we know when there's an impact on Victoria and her staff, that's as we review this legislation, that we're made aware of what that is.
Yeah, no, that's not this.
Okay.
This is just merely saying that the agency has to identify it.
Right, and that we already do, but you mentioned the last part about acknowledging receipt of the request.
Right, letting the person who submitted the request know that the board has received it and is working on it.
Can we standardly do that now, Victoria?
Our goal is to reply by the next business day.
Okay, thank you.
The next bill is a big bill, and I'm not prepared, nor would it be a good use of anybody's time to kind of go through all of the components. What I attempted to do was kind of break out the various areas of law that it affects. And so part of this bill touches upon administrative hearing procedures. One of the changes that it contemplates is that hearings conducted by OWA, the licensee or the respondent will be given 10 days after the ALJ's decision is issued just to accept it, whatever it is. And if they do, then that's kind of the end of the story. It doesn't come back before the board. Our board primarily conducts its own hearings, so I'm not sure how that interfaces, if you will. Another component of the changes to the hearing procedures is if it's contemplated that there are going to be any modifications to an ALJ recommendation, there has to be this opportunity to kind of confer and meet. I'm not sure how that plays out amongst the party and the board. And I think what we're going to have to do is just kind of be patient and take these kind of one step at a time. When, you know, an issue presents itself, we'll figure out how to move forward with it based upon the changes in the law. But it's very new. It's very evergreen. Unless anybody has any specific questions. There are some additional changes to the licensing world. I think some of us, if not all of us, knew that there was an executive order that basically required the board to notify the governor's office in advance if they were going to deny an application for licensure via universal. This just, you know, codifies that executive order in law. And so anytime we get an application for universal that doesn't meet the requirements before we can officially deny them, we need to notify the governor's office. And then there's also a requirement that we put on our website, all of the state policies and procedures that have been enacted to ease the licensing burdens. The statute specifically kind of identifies some of the things that we may want to, you know, put on the website. I'm not sure if we've done that yet or we're in the process of doing that. Yeah.
So out of just curiosity, reporting it to the governor's office, do they have the ability to override our regulations and say, hey, they're getting it no matter what, or is it just reporting for reporting's sake?
No, and I don't know that it's, that would be an interesting discussion
yeah.
if they disagreed with the board.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know.
And I would just ask that if we ever find ourselves in that situation, that it would be just communications back and forth on why they think the board's wrong, bringing that to the board to consider and then responding and just, you know, Victoria and staff working with the governor's office on hopefully a meeting of the minds.
Mark, I have a follow-up question along the lines. How many of denials of universals? We haven't had any.
I don't think we've had any.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
There's also...
There was one?
There was one because the person failed to do the state exam.
Ah, okay.
There's also some changes to the rulemaking exercise. You know, when you first look at it, it's, you know, you can't promulgate a rule without a statute. Well, you know, that's always been the case, and it's quite a, you know, there's quite a formal process for us to go in order to promulgate rules. It used to be that it was much easier to get a rule promulgated than get a law passed, and that really isn't the case anymore. It's quite an exercise and an endeavor to promulgate new rules, and the process from start to finish now, you know, could take up to a year, if not longer, to accomplish. One of the unique things is that this bill codifies, and again, there was an executive order, but now it's in law that, you know, for every rule the board wants to adopt, it has to recommend three to eliminate. And, you know, this is after years of the governor's office asking agencies to review their rules and to be proactive about, cleaning them up, because, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to find a rule or two that is obsolete or just no longer applicable, but has been on the books. So that's just something to think about. This bill also addresses inspections. One of the things that we need to do when we go out now is to sit down and explain our findings to the responsible person and the concerns.
Which we do it, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And again, I really skimmed this bill. There's an awful lot to it, and I think the best that we can do is just, as the issues arise, do our very best to give it meaning and to reconcile other areas of the law that it may, you know, question. I don't know if you've heard, but House Bill 2612 eliminates the good moral character requirement to licensure. It affects a number of state agencies, including the Vet Board. So we will no longer be able to rely upon that as a basis for denying an application.
And I shared that information with the ACVMA in a presentation that Victoria and Dr. Jones attended.
And again, we deny, I'm aware of very few denials, and I don't know that it's been for good moral character. It's generally for other reasons.
So are we removing those letters, or are we just, okay, so we're not accepting
them?
Yeah.
Well, so you can be a felon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
you know about changing names?
We'll give you that.
I don't know if you noticed, but there are brand new statutes in our materials. They have decided to go with the cool blue versus the...
You're appropriately dressed.
The lime, but...
So we get rid of our lime one, this replaces...
Not quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we still have the old cases still fall under that one.
But what this book does include is that there were two statutes that specifically, and there may be more, but I'm aware of two, that specifically fall within our chapter. And that has to do with microchipping and for both veterinarians as well as, I believe, licensed crematorists, if I said that word correctly. And basically, it requires now veterinarians that are presented with stray dogs and cats to do a thorough scan for a microchip, and if they find it, require them to try to reach out to the people identified on the microchip.
Thankfully, the Senate took out the requirement for disciplinary action if they don't.
Well, and I have a question, and this has just been floating around, and veterinarians have been asking about it, is historically we've always scanned them for microchips, and if the person who's presenting the animal says, no, you're not allowed to contact anybody, we can't do it because they're our client, not the other person. Is there anything written into this protecting us, saying if we say, I want to call them anyway, or is that still disclosing information that we're not allowed to disclose? I mean, there's a lot of concern over how to, I mean, damn if you do, damn if you don't. Is that going to be a big problem here, or is that actually addressed? What's up?
Wait till they leave and then call.
Well, no, but they're still your client. Now, you could fire them.
And how would they know? If you waited till they left,
and because they're going to get a call eventually, say, I want my dog back.
Right. First of all, this law only applies to strays.
Yeah. If they're presented with an owner agent, then you don't know that they're stolen.
That's always been historically the problem. Is
we don't get to determine ownership.
Want you calling them. I found this dog on the street. I don't want you calling them. But we're like, okay. I mean, is that written into the law, or is that not really addressed here?
And it's just not
like,
addressed.
It's putting us in a bad position where we're going to get in trouble with someone.
No, check out disciplinary.
Right. What constitutes stray? Right.
Like they tell you.
Right. How? Right. But if I found that dog 20 days ago, it was a stray 20 days ago, but now by law it's technically mine because I've had it in my possession for X amount of time. So like it really
That's the concerns here, is that it's like it's putting us into a position where someone can come after us when we're
in civilly.
And there may be
anybody's dog, keep behind it for 20 days and then it's yours.
And there may be a need to, get clarification next session.
If you feed him, it's yours.
You know, because you're right, this one doesn't.
Okay, I just didn't know if it was, I didn't read the whole bill, so I didn't know.
Well, yeah, I know there's
the next bill talks about, a couple of years ago, the state passed this requirement that if you fell below the federal poverty, there was a waiver, and now they've extended this to
200%.
Pardon me? Yeah.
200% of the pop.
The bill adds active duty military and honorably discharged. Yeah. The tag on the honorably discharge is that they have to apply for licensure within the 2 years of the discharge. Again, I don't know what the economic impact is on the agency.
No, it's just, again, like everything. We just talked about it. It's problematic. Is that do we have the authority to ask for proof of when they were discharged and things like that?
Yeah.
I don't know how we would know that.
So those were the House bills. The Senate bills, temporary licensure. Again, we had an executive order during COVID that gave the board certain discretion to issue temporary licenses. This just says that now it's in law that if you issued a temporary license during the period of emergency, that license doesn't expire until January of next year.
Which is on the regular schedule, right? That's the end of this year, we have to reapply.
This is a broad, but I don't know how many temporary licenses were issued by the agency during.
It's just temporary, not renewals.
Yeah.
Correct. But I mean, it's on the same renewal cycle as what I meant.
Yeah.
So.
That was my concern too.
The next one, controlled substances, as you know, the CSPMP is kind of within the pharmacy board. This requires the pharmacy board to
More excluded. Are we excluded from the CSPMP?
Yeah, this particular bill, though, just says that if they come across any information that seems to be a concern, that they need to notify the appropriate regulatory agency. I don't know how much this is going to affect us. The next bill basically says a licensee can practice under any type of business entity, ownership, or as an employee.
What did that correct? Okay, because I'm like,
I don't know what the problem was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so you can do your job because you have a professional degree. Yeah. All right, I couldn't before.
The next bill again,
don't
also.
Do that already.
Yeah. It means you don't have to join a union or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is also Senate Bill 1639, just talks about the integration between electronic records and the prescription data bank. There were a couple of other bills that
On that one, real quick, just that's against the vendor, though. That's not against me as
right.
a. So, who knows, if I don't update my program, it doesn't really apply to me, but if I do, then the vendor has to make sure the new program. So this is different than where they were making us purchase like $50,000 software to report prescriptions digitally. This is different than that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's my big thing. Like, I didn't want that to be a fee for me.
The next couple of bills, again, don't apply to our agencies, but I thought you might find it interesting. The first one is specifically with the medical board, osteopathic board, and nursing board, and basically these associations have the ability to kind of create this wellness program. One of the reasons why I just included it is because in the past we've seen, you know, legislation affecting a few boards that through the years kind of, depending upon how it plays out, gets broader and broader. So I just thought, if you weren't aware of it, just put it out there.
Question, and maybe this is something you couldn't answer, but why are we usually excluded from these kinds of things? Is it just because we don't talk to those boards when they're trying to run?
It's because Victoria doesn't return the phone call.
That makes sense.
I mean,
the wellness programs would work for us too, I think. Yeah. I don't know if we're just forgotten about, like, usually, or is there a reason we're excluded?
I think these are generally association-driven.
Okay.
And so I just think that, you know, for whatever reason, these particular disciplines, you know, COVID hit them hard. Mm-hmm. And they found out that there wasn't, you know, kind of the support there for their own well-being, their own self-care. And I think they put this legislation together to kind of address their stakeholders.
Okay.
Just as an information.
But I don't have any firsthand knowledge, though. So.
Yeah, because especially in a lot of laws that we don't really want to apply to us, we get forgotten about, which is always good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we don't really want to raise a stink, but I always wonder, for something like this that seems beneficial,
yeah.
It's like, why did they never talk to us?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if you heard anything, Victoria.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Just an informational item, Mark. The University of Arizona's College of Veterinary Medicine has this as part of their curriculum.
Good to know. The next bill is between pharmacists and, you know, medical and nurse practitioners, and basically they can enter into these collaborative practice agreements. I'm not really sure that we get our medical care from our pharmacists, but this allows them to work, I guess, closer in concert with them. And then the last one, I won't spend any time on other than presenting it, and that has to do with the expansion of Schedule II controlled substances, yeah. Doses. There was, you know, there's limitations around it and reporting requirements. This kind of redefines it. But if any of you have any specific questions on any of these bills, you know, the big one again is the one that addresses the hearing process that affects us. Other than the microchipping. And again, that's just going to be kind of a work in progress. And as we get cases, as your sister agencies get cases and how they handle it, we'll be able to report that to you, how OWA interprets this. So
You, Mark, are the board members, so the last one on the list about control schedule two. So vets are considered health professionals under that statute, but as I read it, this doesn't really apply to anything that vets would encounter. Is that how you read it?
That's what I was trying to, I was like interpreting, I'm like, how does this really work?
Yeah, no, this is, again, this is under the category of bills that you might be interested in. It's not, I just thought I'd share.
Next session, something else could be written for us, so it's always good to pay attention.
That was kind of the point of this.
I understand that, but in the Arizona Opioid Epidemic Act from 2 or 3 years ago, there are statutes changed because there were specific limits placed on benzodiazepines and opioids, right? And so that's why I was trying to see, figure out if that was somehow linked to this.
I don't know, I'd be happy to spend, look into that a little bit more.
Okay, I don't think that it does, because I doubt that anybody's exceeding 90 morphine milligram equivalents per day for a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
All right, so number 13, board may review, discuss, and take action on the Arkansas Veterinary Medical Examining Board's action regarding the Arkansas Veterinary License of Joshua Harvey, DBM. This is in supplement one, and Mr. Lougheed is the leader.
I had a question for staff. How did we become aware of this?
AVSB.
Yeah, AVSB sent us the discipline note, the notice.
But we did not get it from him.
Correct.
But he has to tell us, right? Or he has to tell us on the renewal.
On the renewal.
Okay, so he's not in any violation of anything?
Correct.
Okay. So I just took a few notes here that this is, I mean, in case anybody's concerned, although this was just finalized this month, earlier this month, this case, that actual incident that brought the complaint was February of 2020. The complaint wasn't filed till September of 2020, and it's medical records. So, yeah, I'm gonna move, we take no action.
Yeah, the complaint was filed in 2020.
2020.
There was a renewal cycle on December 31st, 2020. So is that not on the renewal list, or was it not to a point where it needed to be reported yet?
It was a complaint. That doesn't mean he knew about it.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, I was just complaining.
I just wrote down the dates.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. Don't. I'm just telling you how old it is.
Yeah.
I only said those dates to mention how old it was.
Well, I didn't know if that was a concern.
And how long, and how, and another pat on the back to us and our staff that it doesn't take us 2.5 years to get done something.
Yes.
Now, because we see this, I mean, we don't audit every single application, but can we look to see, does he report it on the application, just to specifically look at that one on the renewal? Or is that too, there's no way to look at that?
You know, we've got five people in the office.
Actually, right now, we still
have... Victoria's not returning phone calls, apparently, what Mark said, so...
Victoria's serving double, triple...
That's your takeaway?
I mean, if it was something more egregious...
Yeah, it's not a big deal, but it's also one of those where it's like...
Just be curious, of course.
Yes.
I can't say that I would keep track of it.
Yeah, okay, that's totally fine.
We're going to test you.
Yeah. I mean, why don't you mark it on your phone and you come check it?
I'm still here.
You don't have to be here. It's public records. You can see.
Is anybody else just overwhelmed by the number of veterinary licenses he has?
Yes, me? I was.
Is that like 15?
And see, that's another thing. I mean, he's licensed here. Does he practice here or not? Or is he just licensed here for, because he might.
Yeah.
Or he might come to the racetrack and he might not.
Or his mom might live here and he likes to take care of her horse. And,
I don't think it's anything we need to.
Okay. Okay, number 14. Board may review, discuss, and take action on animal crematory inspections. This is in supplement one. This is Victoria.
So I added this one. This was an inspection that took place in two parts. It was first in March. the crematory itself is in Mojave Valley, which if you don't know where that is like the farthest corner that you can get to towards Vegas. And at that inspection, I learned that, oh, they didn't keep any of the paperwork there. It's actually in Bullhead City, which is an hour away. So I wasn't able to complete the whole inspection until I went back again in August. So the reason I added it on the agenda, because I had not yet got a response to the complaint to the inspection after almost a month, but only earlier in this week they've started to have almost given me everything I need. So I, at this point, I don't have any concerns, but that was kind of what it was on there for.
So since we're bringing up crematory, I'm going to ask again this. I don't know if it's just completely dead now. Remember the Board of Funeral Directors was talking about taking that over? Is that, are they still mentioning that, or is that pretty much...
So I haven't actually talked to them. They had a change in executive directors maybe 2 years ago, it's been now. And they have less people than we do, and it was all new people. They had a new, so it's not good timing right now, but it's still, it certainly would still be helpful.
Sounds good. Okay, so board number 15, board may review, discuss, and take action on fiscal year 22. Annual report to the governor. Again, another item for Victoria.
And not surprising, I apologize, I don't have that done. I have that started. What this report is, for those of you who are new, so obviously it's an annual report. It's very similar to the strategic plan data that has it's the number of applications. It's all data, like how many inspections and investigations and things we had. So I will provide that to you next month.
Thank you. So we're penning it.
Yes.
Sounds good. Okay. Next up, board may review, discuss, and take action on information submitted from Catherine Phillip, DVF, her ARS 32-3208. And this is in supplement two, Ms. Frost, it's all yours.
So this was a failure to notify timely or just notification. Sorry, okay. So it's just notification. So at this point, there is no actual conclusion to the charges. So I would make a motion to direct board staff to ask her to notify the board when the case is resolved with the courts.
Second.
Okay. And a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Alrighty. Now we are at the review and approval of minutes. So August 17th, 2022, regular session minutes. Let's see, Dr. Wright, you were absent, so you're going to abstain.
Yes. Madam Chair, I move approval of the August 17, 2022 regular session minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now on to the executive session minutes.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the August 17, 2022 executive session minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve executive session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Minutes approved. Okay, who wants to take the consent agenda?
It's Dr. Wright.
Yay, my last time is the acting secretary. So I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda, removing A7, A8, A15, and C1.
Second.
Good. Motion and a second to remove following items. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I'd like to make a motion to approve pending inspection and compliance for A7, A8, and A13.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
And I make a motion to approve pending receipt of corrected change of scope request form for C1.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those
in favor. I hesitated just to give you that chance.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, do we have any current events? No? What about a call to the public today?
Oh,
I think you need to read that script.
Yeah, I think he needs to yell at our new board chair.
Thinking it must have just been you, because I've so far been off the hook.
You gotta read the script, don't you? You gotta read the script for the opportunity.
Okay, so, excuse me, as a reminder, again, next month, we are gonna be meeting on the fourth Wednesday, so October 26th, so make sure you have that on your calendar. We are again gonna be in this boardroom, so hopefully have our technical difficulties figured out. So, with that, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Nobody opposes.
Stay with me.
This is the earliest we've